And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
Hey, I think you might have messed up the music timing. I have it keyed to the, and we're back. Not, and we're back.
But if I double it, it should be okay, right? Instead of one bar, it's just going to be two bars.
I don't think I do bars.
You have to.
Nah, just turn it off. You can do bars, but I turn off the bars.
No, like bars and music, like measures.
I'm talking bars of the program.
Yeah, we're talking two different things, but yeah, like instead of one measure.
Yeah, 4-4.
Is it 4-4? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So
technically, you had to pick one. And it's like it's either 2-4 or 4-4.
Yeah, true. Anyways, we are back, and we were having an interesting discussion previously before we started recording. Then we realized we should probably just be recording this. So we hit the record button. We're going to jump back into a middle of a conversation.
Yeah.
But we were talking about theology.
As we do.
As we do.
As a video game podcast.
As a video game podcast.
Christian couch.
We're bringing back the Christian couch a little bit here. Tyler was kind of discussing some of the questions he had as a kid that there's a lot of trouble answering those types of questions. So one of them being about, is it loved ones or is it kind of anyone you're close to?
It's the whole, like, when you go to heaven and it's perfect, devoid of sadness,
right,
and different things like that. And it was a kid. I mean, even now, like, I don't want to just pull off of my younger self, but it's like, it was very hard to grasp the concept of the absence of sadness when, like, you know, your loved ones aren't there, or your pets aren't there, or
right,
like, you know, because like some people love their pets more than humans, right?
Yep.
So if, you know, as I was taught in as a kid, like, if pets don't have souls, they can't go to heaven, only humans can go to heaven, and that sort of thing. And it would be the same thing with, like, loved ones. Like, if you don't accept God in your heart, like, you go to hell.
Right.
And that's a very different place than heaven.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's there. So it's this thought of, okay, if it's perfect, then what, like, how can you comprehend that? Like, what is perfect then? Do you have these, like, versions of your loved ones there that you're just happy and everything's great, it doesn't, like, you're great,
right?
That can't be the case, because then it doesn't matter, right, about accepting, like, you know, trying to get your loved ones into heaven and you know, explain God to them and different things like that,
right?
But then the other thing would be like, okay, but then do you just not, like, are you transcendent and it doesn't matter, right? Like,
right.
So, like, is it your, it's so nice and so perfect that you just don't care about not having the other people with you?
Yeah, that gets really sad.
Sure.
But it's devoid of sadness. Well, like, here's the thing. Like, it's tough. And I try to, when I have conversations about heaven with people, you know, it's hard not to think of, like, the stereotypical kind of way we perceive heaven, where we're just hanging out with all our pets and our loved ones.
Pearly gates, golden streets.
Pearly gates and the clouds, whatever. I mean,
everyone has a mansion.
Maybe not that, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The only way we can comprehend it is to relate it to the consciousness that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So our senses, how we perceive the world, right? But that's not going to exist. We're not going to see anything. We're not going to touch anything, you know what I mean? It has to be different, because we're not going to have, theoretically, our vessels, which is our bodies,
corporeal,
right?
Corporeal forms? Yeah.
Yeah. Corporeal?
Corporeal?
I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
That sounds like a Pokemon. Anyways, so it's just like, how do you comprehend something like that, where you're just an essence and you're,
right,
like, is there emotion in that? Can you feel happy? Or, because the way we perceive emotions, the only, you know, it might be different. It might just be a completely different existence. And then it's like, how do you even...
Well, how do you quantify, or, you know, like, it's... If that's the case, which, I mean, that's a very good point. Like, it's your soul, your spirit, you know.
Yeah.
But then you have to make the argument of, if we're not going to miss people, if we're not going to feel sadness, if you're not going to feel, like, then it's like, who, like, I'm not saying I'm saying that. I'm just saying, generally speaking, you can make the argument of, well, then who cares?
I think, I mean, wouldn't there be sadness?
It's a perfect place. You can't have sadness then.
I don't know if that's true. Sadness makes something not perfect.
Yeah. That's the, I mean,
because like if you think about life, sadness is a really important part of life.
Let me look, because there's like a Bible verse kind of ping-ponging kind of around my head that I think speaks to that. But
I wonder if like the different versions, there's, you know, obviously a ton of versions of the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if that impacts a lot of different things too. Like, can you get a lot of different...
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. Like, so Revelation 21, 3 to 4. Heaven will be a place of joy, not pain. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So, yeah, if you want to nitpick it or try to
pain.
Yeah, go in there, sure.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, right? Like, because I thought, I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert on this stuff, so grain of salt, obviously. But, I thought that God had the capability of being sad for people. Because, like, think about it. Like, we're all his children, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you're a parent, it's feasible that your kid could turn from you, hate you.
Yeah.
You know, and that feels bad, I would imagine.
I would expect that,
And that happens. So it's like, you know... But I mean, obviously, God is supposed to be just transcendent above everything. But you know, one would think, because he's a very caring creator, that he would have the capability of being sad.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. He wants the best for everyone, but he gives us free will.
Sure. But he also knows how everything ends up.
Yeah.
So as you're creating like a baby, you're like, oh, this is. Little baby Hitler ain't gonna do some good.
That was a good one. That was a bad guy.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, but, well, okay, let's think about this. The reason we have free will, I guess, is because we ate from the apple, right? Or was that just knowledge?
No, that's just knowledge. Like, so.
But can you be free if you don't have knowledge? I mean, this is getting into a super philosophical. You know what I mean? Are you kind of like, is ignorance just bliss then? That's the situation?
I mean, I'm a firm believer of ignorance is bliss, but I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's...
So we had free will before we got cast out of the garden?
Because if we didn't have free will, they never would have been able to eat the proverbial apple.
True. Yeah, that's
forbidden
fair.
Fruit.
So, okay.
Apples
so I guess
get a bad rap, man.
Apples do get a bad rap.
Anyway, continue.
They
sorry.
Ruined humanity. Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah.
The apple is like our Pandora's box, right?
I remember when I don't know if it was a youth group leader, we were like away at camp or something, and it was like the biggest shock to my system whenever it was like, you know, it wasn't an apple. You know, it just said forbidden fruit. We don't know what fruit it was.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, what? Like,
does it actually not say apple?
Yeah,
in the
it's like forbidden fruit or something. It never says
it's
apple.
It's one of the. What is it called when everyone kind of thinks, misremembers something as like a
collective
group?
Consciousness type thing?
A phrase for it or something.
Well, that's every picture is, because it's like you're looking at fruit and like a lot of fruit are ugly.
Yeah.
I think apples are one of the sexiest fruit. Like it's like
they're
this
very photogenic.
Bright red,
yeah,
crisp, blush apple. Like I feel like that's
That would be a great top five.
Top five sexiest fruit.
I don't like that you're using the word sexy here.
It's peaches win. Okay, we can't bring in sexy into a biblical discussion. But
as I'm saying, I think an apple is a very good looking fruit.
Yeah, I think it photographs well. It's good color. Yeah,
yeah.
Dragon fruits are interesting, but you could say they're
grapes are good.
Ugly a little bit.
Grapes are nice.
So here's the thing: grapes are good in bunches. Like if you get like a nice grape vine or whatever,
need a
you
bunch.
Can't have a single grape. Single grapes.
Yeah, but that counts.
I don't know.
It has to be a single grape?
We're talking a single apple, a single fruit.
I mean, that's because an apple looks best by itself.
I would say it's a fair assumption, and this is just me saying it.
Like, you need a bunch of bananas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that probably looks better than just one banana.
Sure, but a one banana you can still photograph pretty well. We're getting off topic, but what I'm saying is, like, I'm pretty sure it's not a grape because I think that Eve took a bite and then gave it to Adam, who then took a bite.
Why? It could have been a whole vine of grapes. She just
maybe took a bite. But I'm saying, yeah, can you imagine her eating half a grape and then like, here, have the other half?
No, I'm just yeah, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
And then they got thrown out.
It's weird to think, too. It's just like, then suddenly you're naked and like you're ashamed and everything. And it's just like, why? What's. Animals aren't ashamed. It's just weird.
Because they didn't eat from the thing.
That's a good point. You know what? That's a very good point.
That's the difference.
Why isn't there an Indiana Jones movie where we're getting way off topic, like going back, finding the fruit tree?
No, you have to have time machine.
Like animals and stuff, yeah.
Oh, wasn't the last one about time machine?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they could go back in time.
You liked that movie. I still think it's probably not good.
I didn't dislike the movie.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, it's hard to do worse than The Crystal Skull. That movie was trash bag. Yeah. That was so bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. To bring it back, the thought about free will, it's like, okay, if you know, God knows the outcome of everything,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying that contradicts free will then? I mean.
No, I don't say that it contradicts free will.
Okay.
So he knows the outcome, but you're still doing it anyway. So like you always get this thing. Like,
kind of the beauty of it, right? Like,
well, yeah, that's why when people blame, like, oh, well, if God's loving and caring and all this stuff, why is all this bad stuff happening? It's like, well, like, just because he created, like, if he stopped all that, we would not have free will, and that would be a whole other conversation.
It's like I said, how you can't comprehend something that's so omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
It's just impossible. But I would think that, and free will has to matter, right? So like at that point you're like believing in destiny and stuff.
Yeah.
So you're a firm believer in destiny. Like this person is, it has to, because if you're saying he knows everything.
Yeah.
Which means when I was born, mm-hmm. he knows exactly what I'm going to do.
Yes.
Which means that's already predestined.
Yeah, but you're looking at it from a,
there's a track.
But predestined has this idea that you don't have free will. You do have free will. Just because he...
But I don't.
You do.
But he knows.
You made all the choices, so...
But he knows.
He knows, yeah.
He knows what choices I'm going to make.
But that's why you're...
The tricky thing with this is, like, if he transcends time and space, which theoretically he does...
Yeah.
It's like it is predestined. There kind of is no free will because I'm on a track.
But it's your track. So
it is my track.
You're looking at it from he creates you and then you have to follow a certain thing.
I don't have to, quote unquote.
Right.
But I'm going to.
Yeah.
Because he knows.
But that's no different than if we ever discover.
Like I could do anything. But yeah. I won't. I'm going to do one, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It gets messed up.
Right.
Just because the time is weird.
Right. Time, but theoretically, if we ever unlock that, then it would be the same concept where it's just like, you know, you just because he can see your entire timeline.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you didn't have free will to do whatever you wanted. Like he's not. Well, here's the other thing with that. If you're not interfering and doing different things, that's fine. But then there's also prayer and there's also like divine intervention and miracles and different things like that too. So it's
right.
Like, you know, how much of it is like nudging back on track or influencing in some way or whatever. Yeah.
Who knows?
There's a lot of questions. But there's then this is the thing is like whenever you ask that as a kid and then like adults don't want to have that conversation with kids, right? Because like you're not going to have a theological debate with a child, right? So I think that's part of it. And then you mentioned that I had two things. The second one was a little bit darker in that like we were, and I said indoctrinated. That's a negative connotation. But when you're talking about like high level, like theological, like you are bringing Jesus into your heart for ever to be saved after death.
Yeah.
When you're talking to a 6-year-old, like in kindergarten, like I remember in kindergarten doing like this exercise of like, we're doing Sunday, morning prayer.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, has anyone not accepted God into their heart yet? Raise your hand. And I would never raise my hand because I was just embarrassed. And then eventually I was just so curious. I'm like, well, what happened? So like, I raise my hand. And then they usher you into like a different room and you all pray together. And then suddenly you're born again and everything. It's just like, I truly and fundamentally do not believe that a six-year-old can like comprehend that, right?
Yeah.
So naturally,
dude, we can't even comprehend that,
right? But like naturally, like you're just going to go with the flow. If you're in a Christian school to do all this stuff, everyone else you is doing like you are so impressionable. You're so it's such a like. Of course, you're going to raise your hand. Of course, you're going to say the prayer. Of course, you're going to go through this thing.
Yeah.
And my question, which I want to say maybe I asked it, maybe I was like 12, 14, something like that. But my question was like, okay, like, you know, let's say I did the thing where I was at like a Bible camp. And I remember vividly, like I felt very spiritual at that moment, right? Like tears streaming down my face. I was just like, it was in another place.
Yeah.
And I feel like I had a very good experience of like, okay, this was the moment that I would officially say that I was like saved, right? Like, and this was years and years and years after I had done the prayer 6-7 times throughout church and, you know, private school and different things like that. And it's one of those things, like in that moment, it was like, I am fully born again, saved, whatever. But then there's that other thing of like, okay, you can never lose that. Like no one can take that away from you. You are saved and everything. But like, you know, 20 years go by and like, let's say I get like bitter, upset or whatever. And I just start like denouncing it. And I'm just like, I want no part of that. Or you just start doing just the like horrible thing, you know, like my question to the youth pastor at that time was like, what happens?
Right.
Can you become unsaved? Cause like you're telling me I can't, but then you're saying that like you can just go in like a murder rampage and just say, I want to go to hell. I don't want to be whatever. And it's like, and that none of that matters. And it's like, it's just hard to comprehend to me. I don't know.
I didn't learn that though. I didn't really come up. I wasn't as inquisitive as you, but like it never came up as like, they never told me like, oh, you're locked in when you're saved.
Yeah.
Unless I missed that part. But like, think about it. Satan was an angel.
Yeah.
So you can fall apparently, right?
Well, angels are different than humans.
They're more, they should be more locked in.
No, right. Probably, but what right? I'm saying is like, but that was the whole point is like, yeah, you have the fallen angels, but then that's something different than humans in our track. Like angels and humans are very different.
I understand that, but you would think if an angel who's supposed to be a servant of God or an agent or whatever.
Yeah.
Can, you know. What's it called?
What I'm saying is like I was kind of taught
then a
that
dude,
there are different
than a
rules.
Person could, I would say.
Well, you're 100% right. Like that seems like a logical.
It seems very logical.
Yes. But
they didn't say that. You should have brought up the Satan argument.
I should have brought up the Satan
little,
argument.
Little Tyler. But
well, that's
six
it terrified
years old.
Me. And the answer, and I don't want to like butcher it, but like the answer that I was given was essentially like, well, if you're worried about that, you don't have to be worried about it. And it was like,
that's not,
cause in their mind, I guess it's like, well, if I was worried that I'm going to like misstep or whatever, then I just won't, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it's just that type of thing. Like, I'm not saying I don't agree with it or do whatever, but it's one of those things where it's like, I just have questions and being like, just like, oh, just have faith or, oh, just because that's the way it is or whatever like that. That carries so far. I don't feel like you can't be inquisitive. And I feel like already talking about Adam and Eve is like, we're taking leaps of faith already, just assuming that this is like correct already. You know, like,
right,
so it's just
right.
Like, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. I'm not trying to be, you're trying to have a better understanding of what you've been taught since you were literally born.
Yeah. Right.
That's all.
Yeah. Here's the thing, too, man. It's like, this might be a little out there, so. But if I like, sometimes I really believe that, because you have so many different religions,
yeah,
and you have so many different kind of beliefs. But a lot of them, if you study a lot of different religions, which I don't, but you know, from what I understand, there's overlap in everything, right?
Yeah.
I know your cousin was talking about.
Yeah, with like all the floods and
the flood
and
stuff, right? Yeah, but yeah. And I don't go that deep where it's like, I mean, there's something to that though, right? Where there's a lot of the same messaging. There's a lot of the same like understanding of like, this is good, this is evil, things of that nature, right? Mm-hmm. So my thought is there's a truth out there, right? There's like the truth. And I think religion sometimes is a way of us comprehending mm-hmm. that inherent truth that we all somewhat understand internally that's inherent to us. And I think it just manifests itself in different ways. And I think religion's one of those ways that we, it's like a funnel, not a funnel, but like something we can digest it.
A funnel is a good analogy. Funnel. Yeah. Because I mean, you're taking a lot of ideas and thoughts and
yeah, and we're putting
and
it into,
focusing it yes, into like yes, prism type.
Because
of.
It's, yeah, it's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
But, you know, then there's a lot of holes in, you know, in the theory well, too. So it's, you know, it's not, yeah. it's not that, you know,
well, like the other thing that always kind of got to me was like, you know, like we have what we consider like the Bible. The thing that we mm-hmm. are reading is a complete work.
But right.
Like, there's so many other books that were written that were like deemed like not part of the Bible. So it's like it's a lot of these things where we're never taught that. And maybe it's just, you know, we get back to the whole knowledge debate of like, okay, well, like, I'm not saying that the Bible's false by any stretch and anything like that, but it's just like, why were we never shown the other stuff that was like written and like
what kind of stuff?
Well, like just like other books of the Bible that are in some translations or some things that were like removed from like what we consider the books of the Bible,
right?
So to speak. So it's just like, and like, obviously I'm not an expert on any of this stuff because I was never taught it. So it's just like, but when you find that out as a kid, so like growing up, it's like, okay, 12 years of here's your things, here are the different holidays. Oh, it's Easter. Okay. He's risen. Okay. It's Good Friday. Like all that stuff. Like Christmas, he's birthday, all the wise men are hanging out Christmas Day type of thing. And then you, as you're getting older and older and older, you start realizing like, oh, it was actually Christmas. It was actually this time. And it actually took them this long to do it. And it's like all these like kind of like tidy Bible stories are starting to be kind of like, I don't know, the best way I could describe it is like being like stretched out. And like you start seeing all the different fibers that are connecting everything.
Yeah.
And then you start realizing, oh, yeah, this collection of works. It wasn't like, I mean, God was supposed to be speaking through the writers, right?
Yeah.
But then like there were plenty of other people also writing books.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, but then you also have like the church picking and choosing, and then like how many TikToks are talking about like, well, yeah, this is actually what it says, but if you go back to the original translation, this word is only used 3 times, blah, 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 blah. And like I've had a quarter every time I heard that stuff. It's just like there are so many opposing, not opposing views, but like contextual things that I think are personally fascinating. And I don't know if it's just like, Sunday school is afraid that if those were like made more well known or whatever, that suddenly you're gonna start having people like question things and do different stuff, and it's just simpler to keep it. Like,
yeah,
I well, don't think well, the I don't church think knowledge is necessarily bad,
right?
But I don't know.
The church has a dark past, right?
Sure,
and there has to be tampering that's happened throughout the ages. I mean. Because, I mean, like, humans are just, that's what happens. There's just, there's always going to be corruption.
Right.
And you're going to lose, things are going to be lost in translation. And what I mean by, well, literally lost in translation.
Yeah.
Kind of like, because, like, what were you saying with, like, if it's the word of God.
Yeah.
That's a comprehension thing again. Like, you're going to miss something. You know what I mean? But so literally that, but also lost in translation, meaning like, maybe they cut things. Maybe like the argument you were talking about, I don't know if we were recording for this, but like with homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
where there used to be, it used to be very black and white in terms of like, this is a sin. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But now, like you were saying, I guess Gen Z and stuff.
Yeah. One study was like 20% are non-binary or relate to that in some form or fashion.
Right. So like the population is more gravitating towards that more.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually an issue where it's like, oh, we're, you know, nobody's going to go to church.
Yeah, you're losing your congregation. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's like, and you're saying there's been an adjustment.
Slight, yeah.
Where it's like maybe they don't say it's good, but they don't talk about it. Maybe they just redact exactly. it. Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm thinking throughout history. There's got to be cases of this where they have to adjust because they want to survive,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But, and again, like we were talking about before, to me, I take a very personal approach to religion and spirit, you know, spirit. I don't necessarily like the church as much or organized religion because I really do think like the bigger you get in community is good. Like the community is good.
Sure.
Having a yeah. community. So I don't want people to think that I'm not about that. You know, mm-hmm. if you like going to church, that can be really great. But I just think if you start having hierarchies, like you see this in the Catholic Church, you start having, you know, the larger the organization is, I just think it breeds corruption, bunch of, you know, bad things. And I just think there's so much more potential if you have that personal relationship with God. You can really sort things out on your own and almost tailor it in a way where it makes more sense to you, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're like, people like to nitpick the detail. And I know I was just talking about all these little details of questions and different things like that. But like, you know, it's also, we're like, even because you were talking, you're Protestant, right?
Yeah, so
from that ish.
Presbyterian, I grew
Presbyterian,
up. Yeah, right. Which is
well,
Protestant.
Yeah,
of course.
Sorry. Yeah. And like I said, like my home church was non-denominational, probably more Baptist leaning, whatever. But it, yeah, it's one of those things. Like even within that, it's splinter, where it's like we're still coming from like the bigger, and we just keep getting yeah. like whittled down. So
we all came from Catholicism.
Yeah, but it's like
splintered off.
Right.
And then, yeah, you have a
so to think that,
ton.
Oh, our tiny little splinter of a larger thing is like the actual, quote unquote, like how you were talking, like the single truth of that.
Yeah.
More or less is how I was taught and raised. And it's like this small view of what religion is the true thing, right? And I can understand even like the big kind of the larger points of like, okay, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through. But like, it's all the other little things of like, okay, well, you know, God, they made the world in 7 days, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, was it 7 days or was it like actual literal days or was it like
24 hours?
Yeah. Or was it millions of years? And to him, it was, you know, whatever, like that kind of thinking of like, what purpose is that to debate or to figure out or to do different things? Same thing with like Revelation and like, does the rapture happen before or after? Like people that are currently saved, are they going to be through, but like, do they get pulled up before like Armageddon, or do everyone live through it and then everyone gets like little details of like, even within my own church, people had arguments on or disagreements on or different things like that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, there's still questions. And I just think that eliminating the debate, not even a debate, but like the discussion or just like, oh, hey, look, there's these written words of blah, 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 that might give more context of X, Y, Z. Like to just completely pretend those never exist, never tell anyone that they exist. When I say everyone, I'm talking like, you know, I went to church and a Christian school, like never heard of any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's too neat.
Mm.
In a society in like humans, like you were talking, like where it's like it's a very dark past. Like we humans are by scripture inherently evil.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. The only way to like save ourselves is through God. So it's like if we already know that we're kind of set up to fail, so to speak, I don't know. I think it's worth having like just to talk through stuff and like to think that that's taboo or to feel somehow guilty just even asking a question to me puts a bad taste in my mouth for something where it's like, okay, so you have to tell me something. I have to believe you 100% completely, even though I would argue every other religion is the exact same way of, oh no, we have the truth.
Mm. Right.
That's just wild to me. But I don't know.
No, it should be encouraged, right? Discussion should be encouraged, and that's no matter what aspect it is, especially in something as important as trying to understand and figure out what
your soul eternity.
These insane, huge questions. So yeah, I don't like that aspect of it as well. Like where you were saying before, oh, just have faith, just you know.
And I'm not obviously faith plays an important
great
point. Like,
but there's a difference between having blind faith and being inquisitive and curious. Like, there's room for both,
right?
And I don't think one should inhibit the other.
Especially when you really think about it, as like, you know, before they broke off from Catholic Church, like that had to be inquisitive, right? Like that had to be like, wait 100%. A minute, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah.
Splinter.
Yep.
And then splinter and splinter. Like, but then again, we come from a splinter of a splinter of a splinter. So it's like, that's fine. But no more splintering. Like, right? Like it's like I don't know. Like for asking a question or just being curious, to somehow then have that, I don't want to be dramatic, be like, and thrown back in your face and demonized for it or whatever. But it's just like, it's a little hypocritical. It's a little bit less than what I would expect from who, and I don't want to be like the good guys or like the one truth or whatever. Yeah. It's just like,
right.
I don't know.
No, I agree. I think,
like, I want to feel guilty asking a question. That's all.
No,
like, that doesn't mean I'm not saved or I don't believe in God.
Especially as a kid,
right?
Especially as a kid.
Right.
It's very, not satisfactory.
Yeah.
When you aren't able to, like, you know, I'd rather have someone say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's talk this through. Let's see. That's the beauty of it. That's what I love.
Yep.
It's just talking it, you know, talking about it.
It's like we get the PG version of the Bible in Bible school. And like, granted, look, if you're 6 or 7 or whatever, like, yes, I can understand where it's like, okay, here, Daniel aligns then or whatever. Yeah, like, sure. Like, here's Noah. He's coming out of the mouth of the whale. But understanding a lot of that behind the scenes stuff and a lot of like, yeah, well, you know, sure, David beat Goliath, but he also had it. He saw some naked chick on the top of a building and was like, I want her, and then had her husband killed. Like, I didn't hear that story until I was much, much, much older. I get it. There's a little, there's some dark stuff on there, but like, there's some not great stuff in there. So like, if you're willing to eventually get around to that, like, why not just open it up and see what else there is? I'm not saying like, go shopping around for a religion, even though I do believe that everyone has to make that choice for themselves. Like, But I don't know. We don't have to keep talking about it. I'm just like, it's just interesting that everyone is so like wars are fought, everything, you know. But it's just like nobody really knows.
No.
If you're being honest, nobody really knows. You have faith, which is completely fine and good, but you don't know. Like, we are being very, very judgmental and angry, I would say, more often than not, for something that you don't, like, you can't actually know for certain. Yeah. Having faith is not knowing for certain. That's the whole point of faith.
Exactly.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's a tough subject to tackle.
But here's the thing. If my mom heard this, she would probably be upset. And I'm not trying to.
Yeah, mine too.
Probably. Yeah, like, this isn't I don't believe in Christianity or I don't believe in God. But it's just,
I'm just such a firm believer in the pursuit of knowledge and growth, where even as a species, you know, we still have unlimited potential, theoretically, right?
Yeah.
And it's silly to limit ourselves that way, saying like, oh, this is it. This is right. We shouldn't pursue anything else. Just have blind faith. Like, that's just such a limiting mindset.
And it's the same thing where everything bad that happens in your life could be God's way of trying to get you back on the right path. But then everything good and happening in your life, well, you better thank God for it. And it's like, I can understand where the influence would come and things like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, it gets tough. It gets tough.
Yeah, and it's going to get tougher and tougher, and as the society grows and changes and everything, and like,
yeah,
things are going to get warped beyond what we knew 20 years ago, or you know, whatever, and it's just going to continue to get, and not warped as in like a bit like warped as in, you know, our kids, our grandkids, our great grandkids' views are going to be like completely different than what we knew in 1990 or 2000 or whatever.
Exactly, and that's the beauty of it. Like you grow as a society,
yeah,
and there's just a higher level of understanding. Like, you know, people talk about, for example, like, you know, there could be a day where we're able to communicate in some way with like animals and stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And at that point, it's like, can we eat them anymore? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you might see a society where it's like everyone's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Because now we can communicate with the cow. You know what I mean? I think that's fair. It's like,
yeah,
something today would seem preposterous.
Mm-hmm.
Could happen in the future. Like, nobody knows.
Well, where do they pull the aliens out? Was that Spain?
Mexico.
Mexico?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, all right, don't see those in the Bible or wherever, you know? So it's just like, okay.
That's fake, right?
That's got to be.
It's got to be fake.
Yeah, it's got to be
But fake. That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because you have all the, it was the government, right?
Yeah. Dude, when the government
you have
is
all these governments pulling the alien stuff out, what the hell is actually going on?
Yeah.
Something huge is going on right. that they're trying to distract us from, right?
That popped up and it was just bad. I think it was bad timing, but that was also I think the same day the announcement of Biden's impeachment was going through.
Oh, do you think it's just something like that?
If you're into conspiracy theories and stuff like that, but it's just like, man.
I actually have a much more pessimistic view where it's like something huge is like, oh no, our atmosphere is falling apart. We just ran the numbers, guys. We're building spaceships right now underground. But aliens, guys, look at this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
It's a Starfield situation. So it's a good transition.
It's a great transition.
But Starfield wrecked the world in, what, 50 years?
Yeah, so in Starfield, so I guess spoiler alert.
All right, ending the theological
discussion. Yeah, we're ending discussion. It here. Moving to Starfield.
Yeah.
Because we do want to talk about Starfield again. Because I've gotten a chance to kind of play through it and give it give it a rating. So, yeah, what happened in Starfield was the grav drives or whatever.
Yeah, they found just like tech, right? Yeah. Like alien tech.
Very similar to Mass Effect.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. A little bit more grounded, I guess.
I think Mass Effect, I always talk about Mass Effect, but it just does such an amazing job. Like that, explaining it. And kind of playing out what would happen in a scenario like that.
Yeah.
Now, of course, in Starfield, yeah, I guess you could say more grounded because there's no aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we've never really seen aliens, theoretically.
I'm just so like, sick of, like, just artifacts. And Halo's the same way. It's like, oh, here's the artifact that we sometimes, like, here's the Ark or here's the
and it was
tuner
like a,
or here's
it was
the
a,
whatever. And, yeah.
Advanced society that had it.
Yeah. Technically, Mass Effect had the same thing.
Yeah, right? Protheans.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, because they thought the Protheans built like the Citadel and shit and the relays, Mass Effect relays, but it was the Reapers.
Another great example, not to go back to theology, but another great example of like people were so certain of this is the history, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Just like the universe, just like, oh, this is the Big Bang, this is the 38 billion years or whatever, this is it. Like, and then 20 years from now, we're going to learn something else, and then suddenly all these things change. Yeah.
Yeah, imagine the day where we go to Mars, find a mass relay, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like everything changes, and that would be huge. So, anyways, Starfield, I really actually liked the main quest line. Now, I know, like, you know, technically it was, you know, not great. Pretty boring, and the fact where like, oh, you just go here, get an artifact, rinse and repeat. But when they kind of the Starborn show up,
mm-hmm.
that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah,
so that was I actually really liked that piece.
Are we spoiling things? I don't even know if that's like a.
I said spoiler warning.
Oh, did you? Okay, I missed that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Starborn is like, that was cool.
Yeah.
When they start showing up and then get into that.
Did you finish it or you still didn't kind of like complete it?
I didn't complete it because I want to do like all the side content.
Before you...
But I know where it's going. I mean, you kind of told me last time too, where it's like you, I guess, go to a new universe.
Yeah.
And you just get more artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an end game though? Like, here's what I'm confused about. Here's what I'm confused about is they're searching for all these artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hopping universe to universe, getting all these artifacts.
They're not hopping universes for the artifacts. Every universe has all the artifacts in them.
Hmm. So then I'm confused. So how... Aren't the Starborn from a different universe?
Yes.
Okay.
So essentially what happens is one Starborn wins. And so like... You go and you collect all the artifacts.
Yeah.
And again, huge spoilers, so hopefully people aren't coming back into this. But you collect all the artifacts, and that's why all the Starborn are like fighting each other and figuring it out. And it really just boils down to you have like the Hunter and the... I don't even know. What's the other guy? Envoy or something?
Ambassador? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they're sometimes called Helix something or other, and like there's some weird stuff going on. But it's really just like these two entities, right?
Yeah.
And... You have all that, and like it just continues to go. But like you collect all the artifacts, and then you're the one that they give you the artifacts. So like, let's say you side, like you have to side with one of them, or you take them both on. I've never done that option yet, but you have to side with one of them. And the first time I sided with the quote unquote good guy, because I don't know how far you like you were right at the end.
I sided with neither, so I'm right before I fight them.
Okay, so then you'll have to tell me how that goes whenever you pull the trigger on it.
But okay.
I sided with the guy that...
The good guy. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy in white instead of the guy in black that was like, I want to kill everyone.
Yep.
but I sided with him, and you go through and everything, and you fight the... you fight through... Like, it's kind of... Like, the first time you do it is interesting because you're fighting, like, all of these other Starborn, and you're just mowing everyone down. And it's, like, I want to say three or four, like, big battles... Right?
Yeah.
And you go through it all, and then you get to the very end, and it's like you and then whoever you... So if I side with a good guy, the Hunter's in front of me, he walks up, and you can either persuade him to just, hey, give me all the artifacts, which I've done every time, because you can just boost your persuasion up, and you never have to do the end fight. Just or you can fight him.
Drink a gallon of wine.
It's I think it's like Paramore spray or something. It's like a 25% boost to your thing. So I'm just like,
do they stack? Like if you drink,
I don't think they stack, but they stack with your current persuasion skill, which is like 40% or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just, they gives you all the artifacts, and then the guy that you side with is like, okay, well this is my universe now. I'm staying here, and you are the Starborn that goes through the universe and basically, you talk to yourself, and then you hear yourself for the first time talking. And he's like, okay, hey, everything that was and is and could be, and very like timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can either turn around and go back and just stay in your universe or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you go forward and it gives you your new game plus, resets the game, where now you have your Starborn armor, which is better than any armor you could possibly get in the game. You get your Starborn ship. So the ship that you see them flying around in, you have that now. But it's only, it's like an A-class ship or whatever. And then you go to Constellation, like the lodge.
Yeah.
And you have two options. One, you can tell them who you are and you skip the campaign, or you can literally do the entire campaign again and see how that goes. So if you skip the campaign, then they say, oh, hey, go find these six artifacts. And that's literally it. And then you just grab the six artifacts and do that whole end sequence again, and then jump to another universe and jump to...
So that's what I'm not understanding. So you're jumping universes to get more artifacts.
Yeah. Well, no, not to get more, to complete the what is it, the Gravtron 9000, whatever it's called. It's like the...
Armily?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. The art of...
Yeah, the thing.
Fisser.
The thing.
There's a complete one of those in everything, and that's when you...
Whenever you complete it,
and you use your grab jump, it essentially warps you to the, I don't know, the path where you just touch an orb and it warps you to another universe.
So that's what I don't get. Why?
To just reset the game and to try something new. Like, the thing that the annoyed Starboard, me...
But, like, they were talking to me, and they're like, I've done this 1,000 times, blah, blah, blah. You don't ever know.
Yeah.
So they're just jumping universes.
They're... The Starborn that you see in your original playthrough are not the same Starborn in another universe. It's like...
But they all know about...
They don't all know about it. It's just by the time you get to it, that timeline... And this is where it gets... They have a lot of latitude on that kind of stuff. But it's just like... You talk to another... I think it's the Envoy. I don't know. That's how good the characters are. But the Envoy and the Hunter or whatever... The Hunter that you, like, let's say you jump universe to universe 2. And the way that you can tell is, like, whenever you do your save, it'll say Starborn 1, Starborn 2, Starborn 3. Every time you jump universes, it'll tell you how many you've done.
Yeah.
So I'm Starborn 4. I collect all the whatevers. I talk to the Hunter and stuff. That Hunter is not the same Hunter that I met in the very first playthrough that I had, but it is a Hunter that has jumped multiple times. So the thing is... that Hunter has jumped through multiple universes and has been the Starborn that essentially won, got all the artifacts himself, and warped to another universe. And he just keeps doing it over and over again, just in perpetuity.
So it's like if you have infinite people.
Yeah.
And it's a rock, paper, scissors tournament.
Uh-huh.
And you win, you go to the next round.
Yeah.
So he's like won a couple times. But now he's up against you. And he's
you win,
lose.
And now he will
he's
never
gone.
Jump again.
Yeah.
And whatever universe you meet him in, he's stuck in there forever. But now whenever you jump to another universe, there's another Hunter that has won
exactly.
a thousand
it's
times.
Like a, yeah. It's like a bracket.
That's just infinite, keep going. Never stopping.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like,
but again, I do not understand why they're doing it.
I think it's just to rehash it, and I don't want to like spoil too much. And to be fair, I haven't seen a lot of it, but theoretically, as you jump universes, there will be different things that happen.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the only unique one I've seen. So every time, this is why I actually stopped playing the game, is because I've done it 4 times. You can basically finish it in about 2 hours. You can get all the because you just
speed run it,
and essentially just like warp. To each, okay, I'm going to go to this planet. Fast travel. You're literally right there. And after you do it a few times, because it's only a limited number of places, because it's always in like constellation bases that you have to pick up the artifacts.
Yeah.
So you know exactly where they are. They never change. So like the only thing that's different is sometimes there's a Starborn there to kill you. Sometimes there isn't. And it like takes like 2 shots. And it gets old quick, right?
Yeah.
But the one, and this is the one where my game bugged out and I got mad, but I open up the lodge. Because it's always like you open up the door and like you see them. But the one time I did it, it was all children. Now they're all wearing the uniform. So like Sarah looks like Sarah, but like just a blonde girl that's 12 or 15 or whatever. Like I don't even say like 12. Like they're young kids. And it's all just like young kids, right? And it was like, what? And they're like, oh, who are you? You know, like it's not them, but it's just like, oh, Constellation's no more. They left a note. And it's just like, okay. And like, that was interesting to me. I'm like, okay, what's different? But then my game bugged out. I had to reset it. And then I started again and it was not the same.
Mm.
So like, apparently there's that. Apparently there's one where Walters like came up to them and was like super bloodthirsty, evil dude. There's one where Dreja or whatever hates you or something. It's just like, there are a lot of like interesting things, but that's where it goes into the, like the RNG part of it, where it's just like, you might get a cool universe. Like that's enough to maybe like, well, I kind of want to try it. But the problem is after doing that first jump, and maybe this is just the underlying theme for just Starfield in general, is like you start to realize like nothing matters. So like now I'm starting to be like, oh, just because I want to get through it faster. Like the Hunter is always like, just killing people. I get what I want quicker. It kind of gets you there quicker. So like if I'm looking at like how can I get all these artifacts quickly, rather than sitting through a cutscene and talking to somebody, if you just attack them, it's like I can get to the end and jump to another universe faster. And you're getting this very detached you as a gamer, like as a player, like you're just like, that doesn't matter, I'm just gonna murder. Like I at one of them I murdered the guy in the eye, what's his name? Vladimir.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you can just attack him. So like one playthrough, I just killed him because I didn't want to have the conversation of him. Another playthrough, I just turned around and walked out without even talking to him. So like, there are these things, and like the dude in his little bar, the collector or whatever.
Yeah.
You have these flashbacks and you go and you see him and stuff. And like, it gets to the point where like the first time you go and you talk to him and do different things and like you have to like kill him to steal his key or persuade him or whatever. But as I'm going like second, third, fourth playthrough, I'm like, I don't want to take the time, man. So the moment I teleport into like that kind of canned scenario, guns out, pop him in the head. Like he doesn't even, he's like, hey, and then just bam, just murder him. Like it literally Starborn, like as you play, it just teleport in, murder the guy, take his key, move on. With zero thought, because like I had to stop and be like, oh no, like what, that's crazy. But like zero thought to the consequences of that universe where it's like you just murdered a prominent blah, 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 blah. People don't know who you are, like whatever. You don't care because the moment you jump to the next universe, so that doesn't exist and you're so detached. And I'm like, that's a, to me, that's actually kind of cool ending where I'm like, I've done this four times. Already I'm quote unquote bored, but can you imagine the hunter and the Anvil guy going through and like doing this for thousands of runs?
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool message.
It's cool.
But then, like the idea is you pick a universe that you eventually are just like, I'm done. And then like, that's your universe and you just stay there. But it's wild. Like it's neat. It's a cool way of like resetting the game and starting over where you keep all your skills and you have some badass armor and a ship that basically just takes on everything. But I don't know. You can't upgrade your ship. Can't upgrade your armor. You can't change your appearance or do anything. Like you can take it off, but then
why would you?
Yeah, it's the best. Like the armor is literally like your O2 depletes it minus 25%. Like I was so encumbered and I could just run like it was nothing. Like it didn't matter.
There you go.
Yeah. Like I could hold like 2000 kilograms or whatever the weight is. And only then would it tick down like a normal encumbrance thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Sorry. I know I just essentially spoiled the entire ending, but that's what you're... Yeah. I don't know if it's worth it or not, you know? Because like everything you're doing is gone.
I
want to check it
out because I think we're going to have some key differences. You didn't romance anyone, right?
I tried, yeah.
And...
Not to completion, apparently.
Yeah, so I married Sarah. And we actually kind of talked about like, hey... Are you going to come with me if I decide to jump? So that might be a really interesting scenario if I'm bringing Sarah with me.
I'll be interested if you get the option. If you could do that.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Be so cool. And now we just have like power couple.
But what happens if she sees... She's going to see herself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
If they programmed it that way.
Well, yeah. We'll see.
What if she's like, I can't go with you. And then like, would you go? Like, how attached to you are you? I mean, you got married.
We did get married. That's a great question. Maybe my game ends right there because it's like, eh.
But that's awesome. That's such a cool.
But that's so kind of to bring it back to the review, I thought the main story was actually really interesting.
It gets
creative, right? In a way of, wow, this is a great concept for a new game plus. I just thought that was really fresh and new.
Yeah.
So I particularly enjoy that and enjoy hearing you talk about your experience. And just to bring it back to the review itself, I mean, this is, you know, a Bethesda game through and through, which is what we've kind of been saying the entire time. And it doesn't change there. I mean, you really get a personalized experience through it.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of it, you know, eventually doesn't matter just because of like the scale of some things or, you know, whatever the case may be. I think a gripe is definitely like, I wish Nate was talking about this with me as well. Like, I wish your choices had more of an impact.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to compare it to Baldur's Gate because it came out right before.
Right.
And they're both RPGs, of course. Like, in Baldur's Gate, everything you do matters. And I think you were saying this exact thing, but I think it's worth emphasizing that, like, you can kill someone and you lose the quest line.
Theoretically, I just watched a video on that where Baldur's Gate, you could kill people, like, you know, the party that you have, like it very like act one, before you go into act two or whatever.
Spoilers for Baldur's Gate as well. Sorry, I guess.
Well, this is all spoilers, but like you have that big party and you have like the main guy that's like leading the tieflings and everything.
Yeah.
If you kill him, which you absolutely can, the dude that was like training all the little kids takes over. you kill him. Another chick that's apparently in Act Two comes in and is a stand-in for this.
Right.
And this guy was like, I wanted to see how far this went. And he saw everyone that was at the party by default murders all of them. And every single person had a stand-in and had different people coming in where it's like they account for that. It might not completely change the whole dynamic. You'd have to maybe even go further.
Yeah.
But like when you shoot someone in Starfield that shouldn't die, they just go down and then stand back up. Exactly. Like it's not a
right.
not an issue.
That's what I'm saying too. And it's like,
and everyone else stands around them. Like it takes you out of it.
There'd be a really cool opportunity to have a situation where if you take out a leader or something of a faction, because Nate was telling me he went through the pirate route.
What?
Yeah, right. And he was a crimson.
It's a cool.
Oh, route. Yeah. Like that's
it might
sweet.
Be one of the best ones.
Because that's like the undercover one, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you...
Well, it can be.
It can be, exactly. So I guess you can side with them, right?
Yeah.
Which sounds exactly like a Nate thing. But he was saying like, oh, it really doesn't matter. Like, I can still join the UC. I can still... And it's tough because you want to balance it where you want to be able to do everything.
Sure.
Because people like... having that completionist nature of it, but there is something cool about like, oh, this is my personal tailored story. I am now a wanted pirate. I'm but, obviously not going to be able to become a citizen.
But like in a game that lets you literally not reset the universe, but jump to another universe where none of your past choices matter, but like you can still carry over some level of progress.
Yeah.
Why not take that extra step and why not say like, no, if you're a pirate and you're like making a name for yourself, which is kind of cool in its own right, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course you're not going to join the UC. Like you're not going to be able to join the police officers after murdering
all
of their fleet, you
exactly.
know? Like take that extra step and actually be like, no, like you locked yourself out. Like, sorry, like 100% agree.
Yeah, and in Baldur's Gate, it does that. Like,
sure.
You can lock yourself out of things. Like, there are decisions you can make where your companions leave.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yep. I you murdered one of the ones that I was like, oh, I didn't realize she could be a companion or whatever, because she was, like, the...
Evil
one
chick.
Of the... Yeah.
She's great, too, I heard. Like, if you...
Sure.
But you never have to, you have to be bad.
Yeah.
But anyways, well, I mean, yeah, you're talking about the party. You can literally side with the goblins.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Murder them all. It's crazy. I mean, it's just the level, the scope of it is crazy. But what I'm saying is I think there's definitely an opportunity there. But, you know, you go back to Bethesda games, it's always been that way. Like in Skyrim, you could do all of the organizations or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could be an assassin. You could go to the Wizard College. And I think there's a maybe not a large or there's enough people that want to have that experience that I think that's why they do it. But
yeah,
it's a tough line, right? Like you have the completionists, they want to do all of the factions,
mm-hmm.
and that makes sense. But I just think, because, you know, I talk about immersion and all of that, I think there's an opportunity there. Like, now my storyline is I'm a pirate. Now I'm wanted. Now I can't even step foot on New Atlantis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that becomes really fascinating to me.
Or there's, like, some side quest that you have to take where it's, like, almost like the Gray Fox or whatever from... Oblivion. Is it Gray Fox?
I don't remember.
It's the mask you can put on.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, but then as soon as you take it off, you're fine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It could be something along those lines where like maybe it is like, okay, you're a disguised pirate, you're doing all that stuff, but then like as long as you don't use like the ship that you murdered everyone with, or as long as you don't, like there are ways around it where like, you can still lead a double life.
Could get a middle ground.
But that's another... level of gameplay where it's like you have to be real careful because if you forget and like land, go into a space with like your ship or whatever, of course the entire place is going to try, like you can't land there.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know.
Exactly. So yeah, I think there's an opportunity for that. And I think you were talking about this last time as well, where, you know, maybe dial back the scope so you can really focus a little bit more. And there's just a little bit more life injected into it, right?
Where fast travel sucks.
Yeah, that takes me out of it a lot. The
immersion, fast travels and like the constant screen loading is nuts.
The immersion breaking's bad there, especially when you're talking about exploration. I mean, like you're showing No Man's Sky, which I still think is an unfair comparison. I think they're definitely two different games.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's hard not to compare the two because obviously space exploration's a main part in both.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have one that's seamless... Like, you sent me a video the other day where you're flying into a planet. You're flying around the planet.
Yep.
You can go wherever. No loading screens.
Right.
And it's like, it's tough. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough to argue with that. Now, my argument is, let's see where Starfield is in 7 years.
Yeah.
There could be a situation where you can do that in Starfield. I wouldn't put it past.
I would hope, but I also think, because they're like, oh, this is something that we're going to be doing for years to come and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know if they'll do it, but modders might.
Modders
find a way.
Will. I don't. So here's the thing with that. I do not consider modders the same level. Now, will I say that Starfield is better than like No Man's Sky with mod? Sure. I'm not discounting that.
Right.
But to be fair, you have to take the mods out of Starfield and see what the actual development team is putting into that versus what the development team for No Man's Sky put into it. Again, apples and oranges, not a fair comparison. I completely agree with you. But like when the mods that are coming out are like, hey, you know that stupid, annoying like loading screen where every time you dock, you have to watch this like 30-second cutscene over and over. It's like, that's gone. You don't have to worry about that. Or it's faster or whatever. Or the menus don't have an animation every time that they do it.
I wish you could have the loading screens, but I wish it was just maybe like a better cutscene, I guess.
Something.
Right?
Something. Anything. Like just...
Because you know what I hate is like every time I take off, it's like, oh, I see my ship taking off.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why can't I just still be in first person and do that and have a loading screen, right?
Can't you?
No, it always like
goes
out.
It always whenever you go into it first.
I don't know.
You
and
might have
like
to
when
switch
I fast
it.
So and like when I fast travel, I don't know. I just think there's a better way to do it than just a loading screen.
1,000%.
Right?
Like but there's a loading screen. So like whenever you go into there's a million spaceports in No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Your ship, whenever you go close to it, it gets sucked into the spaceport, but it doesn't like fade to black or anything. You literally watch yourself go in, turn around, land as other ships are coming in and landing and stuff. And you just get out of your ship and then walk around the spaceport and do everything you want. And when you're done, get in your ship, shoot out of the spaceport. Like
there's got to be a way to do it where, you know, like on the classic gaming thing that was happening for a while was like you would sneak through a crevice or whatever.
But it's still in game and there's not a black loading screen.
I know people complain about that, but I would much rather that than a loading screen. Like I'm still in the game. I'm still immersed. Like, I mean, Nathan Drake, there seems to be a lot of fucking caverns he has to traverse.
Yeah. I mean, even God of War, it's like, man, you're really crouching down, crawling through this thing with your kid
like,
for
look,
a while.
I get it, but I don't know. It doesn't break my immersion. It's like
it is
we're still in it.
Extremely compartmentalized.
Yes.
Like to a staggering degree.
Yeah.
Even within the city is a stagger. Like at least Skyrim, it's like you open a door a lot of the time. Now they had that as well.
Yeah.
But like loading times were much, much faster. Like it's just it's a second too long. It's like that's wild. And then the fact that they come out and they're like, oh, these are the things that we want to patch in, and it's like FOV slider.
Yeah.
DLSS. a freaking name a game in recent memory that the very first thing it tells you to do is like adjust the brightness.
Yeah,
and this game doesn't have a contrast adjuster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like it's legitimately like this is the only game I can think of that specifically looks worse on an OLED panel. Like that's insane to me.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. No, it's fair.
There's no black. There is not a black where the pixel is off. It is literally just this washed out gray green. Every time it fades out, it's literally just a gray screen.
Yeah,
that's in that, and that's me being all like hoity toity with that kind
fair.
Of stuff.
Fair, I think that's fair. I mean, that should be a standard feature that is with launch. I mean, it's pretty unheard of, especially like a first person game not having the adjuster.
Right.
Like people were saying, I was getting dizzy or motion sickness because I couldn't adjust. Yep. You know what I mean? So it's like...
It'd be the same thing with motion blur. I told you that.
Right.
Like, that's not me just being like, oh,
it becomes an accessibility issue at that point.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's wild. So, yeah, I mean, the game has a lot of faults. I mean, we've talked through a lot of them. I do think it has a lot of great things in it. It's a classic Bethesda experience. And, like, you know, I was talking about with you, you can really craft your own story. There's so many different things you can just do in the game. Nate was showing me the ship that he built. It was so awesome. It's like triple decker, like this whole starship. He's like, oh, this is the mess hall. This is where we sleep. And it was so cool and intricate. You have all the factions. You have the outpost building. I've seen some really cool outposts that people have built where they're connecting networks and they're just have a million people. It's like they have a whole organization set up, which is just super awesome. So there are just a lot of, I think, cool features in the game, and you can really just go as crazy as you want with a lot of them, which is a lot of fun. You can focus on the story if you want, and that's the beauty of Bethesda games. You know, especially in this one, where you have various different systems and kind of like mini games, I guess, or whatever. What would you call that? Like features, whatever.
Yeah, like gameplay mechanics.
Yeah, mechanics. Yeah. So there's something for everyone. Mm-hmm. Is kind of, you know, what I'm trying to say. So like me, for example, I haven't gotten into like the customization stuff. I'm more of a story guy, right? So I really enjoy doing the factions and meeting the characters and all of that stuff. And I've been having a lot of fun with that. And I think you can craft your person really well. I think the RPG elements in that sense are really well done.
Are you getting more are you trying to branch out your skills, or are you just kind of like...
I eventually had to branch out, but it was, you know, I started very much, I was a diplomat background, I was a persuasion person.
Yeah, you can remove those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have empath. You can remove it.
Yeah.
You go to the doctors and he's like,
yeah,
there's a pill I can take to make you a shitty fucking uncaring person. I was like, wow, that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was a clever touch to be able to at least still change. Like, you can really change your entire thing, your entire character at that point. Yeah.
I also recommend the best one I took was the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. Super cool, and they will come visit you at the lodge sometimes when you're just exploring the universe.
I don't think you can get rid of those, though, right?
Yes, you can.
Can you?
Yep.
You can get rid of parents?
Yep. You,
wow.
You say, I don't know how it functions, but you can say, I can't. Because the downside to parents is you have to send them money every week.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, my dad's a professor, and my mom's...
I feel like you got the wrong end of the deal.
Are well off.
Yeah.
They are well off. They have a nice apartment. I'm like, dude, you don't need my money. That's crazy.
Yeah.
They have like pensions. I'm like, dude, what is happening? Anyways, I was like, guys, I have a mortgage. I can't. It's not a lot of money, but it's like, 2%. I don't know.
It's all right.
I'm like kicking them 500 credits a week or whatever, but they're so cool and supportive, and they'll show up at times. They'll give you gifts, and they'll talk through like things that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. It's like, oh, dude, I just, you know, we saw you on the news talking down a bank robber or something.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about their dad. They're like freaking out. They're like, oh my God. It's like, I don't know. It's cute and nice. I will say the one downside with that, I was super disappointed, is I got married and they weren't there.
Just... Oh.
Yeah, that sucks. How could you not have that? You're not able to invite your parents.
That's wild.
I hated that. I was like, that sucks. Because I think I reached the end of their like thing.
Stuff that they,
And I was like that's
when you
such
can
a
see
dumb,
the like the cogs.
Yes.
That's a problem, yeah.
Yeah, you can see the cogs there. It was so awesome at first when they had, you know, programmed.
Yeah.
But maybe I missed something. Maybe I missed something.
I completed the banker thing, too. I was actually disappointed. It was like five missions or whatever for Galbank.
Yeah.
I just hunted everyone down.
No, as soon
like,
as I
done.
Went back and
he just stopped
finished
talking to me.
It, I had one more.
It?
No.
Yeah.
I was super bummed about that.
Yeah.
I was super bummed.
That's the thing is, like, you can push it so far, but then, like, you're eventually just done. And like you have to, I get that. Like there is a scope.
But that
to
could
it.
Be a thing where you have the quest line, and then you're like the guy that they go to. You have like a position there or whatever.
It just seems like a very easy regenerative quest.
That's what I'm saying. So you have the structured ones, and it could get crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're just a part, and you're on their payroll.
Yep.
And they just give you a call every week.
Just procedurally generated.
And
yeah.
That could be so easy to be just RNG, right?
Yep.
I don't know. Missed opportunity there.
Well, they did some good stuff too. Where like did you do the distress call yet for like somebody was like, oh, the post is getting overrun by outlaws or whatever.
Oh, or no, not outlaws, but
whatever. It's like, hey, we help. Like, she sends a distress signal out, and then there's a whole quest line.
Yeah, yeah.
You did that or no?
No, I didn't do that one.
But that's a good example of, like, at the end of it, and I think I mentioned this last week, where it's like, they eventually just go away. And they do, like, a one line of, like, well, we're going to the Outer Rim or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
you
like,
mentioned that, yeah.
But at least that...
Closure.
Yeah, it's closure. Not just then, hey, dude, remember this crazy thing that happened to us? And you're like, hi. And then just, like, nothing. Like, it's just, like, nothing. There's no additional thing.
Yep.
Again, it's a video game. I get that. I'm not docking points
like a
for that.
You know, it was a side quest. It was in one of the faction quests. I get it. But, yeah, I just wish there was a little bit more care, attention to detail. And that's, like, the big difference. Like, Baldur's Gate has that love and care to every small, insignificant detail. And you can see that.
Yep.
And in Starfield, I just think the scope's too large for them to get that minute.
If
those
it
things
was
matter.
Jammed-packed... And large, that's one thing.
Yes.
But it's so, and scarce. I don't think it came across in the video I sent of No Man's Sky, but like, even when you land on a planet and you open up your visor, there's literally like 40 things around you.
Yeah.
And like, maybe that's overwhelming, but that's like one planet of 18 quintillion planets you can do or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And granted, a lot of that is very open worlds kind of rehash things, but like the discovery aspect is night and day different than a Starfield thing. So like I told you, I was going through No Man's Sky, I was going through Cyberpunk, re-downloaded that, and I was doing some Baldur's Gate. Right. And like in those three, like as you're looking at like the different aspects of Starfield, and like you have like, okay, like your space exploration and your spacefaring stuff or whatever. And then you have like the RPG part of it. And then you have the, like, let's call it like the combat or even like the integrated stuff. Like, I was shocked at how seamless Cyberpunk was when you're talking to people, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they have to robotically stop what they are doing and turn and face you, and then you have to hit the button again to talk to them and stuff like that. Like, I didn't realize how much that annoyed me until going back to something like Cyberpunk and being like, dude, this, it feels organic. It feels natural.
I think
natural.
They do. That might be a thing where that's just a Bethesda thing at this point, where it's kind of like a classic.
But I feel, and maybe I'm misremembering.
It doesn't
but
bother
Skyrim
me though as much.
Skyrim didn't do that.
That's a Fallout thing.
Yeah,
that's
it's,
a Fallout. Well, Skyrim does do it actually. Skyrim does do it actually.
But you can walk away though. Like right, you can. It was different. It was different.
Let me think. Now I'm not remembering.
I have to go back. I almost downloaded Skyrim again just to try it. I don't think...
No, it does do that, because like when you're fucking around in Whiterun, the guard will come up and your camera will just turn... Like
I think that's if
pause.
You're locked out, though. Right? Or it's not... Maybe it's not like you fade in, you have the bokeh and everything. It's a little bit more in the environment. Maybe it's not as
pulled
in.
Now I have to go back and play. I can't... I'm conflating everything. I know definitely Fallout is the same.
Yeah.
I don't remember if Skyrim or the Elder Scrolls games are. I thought they were.
It's not
but,
inherently bad because technically Baldur's Gate does the same thing, but Baldur's Gate just seems more organic. You have other people in there. Like
Baldur's Gate's more of a Mass Effect style or Star Wars style
where it's like it's a little bit more involved.
I don't know. I don't even know how I describe it, but it's...
So I thought about this. I wrote it down. Okay. And the way that I thought about it was Starborn come in, start shooting up the place.
Yeah.
That's wild, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to go to every individual member of Constellation. Hey, that was pretty crazy. How do you feel? Hey, that was pretty crazy. How do you feel? You would think that it would be like a group session of like, holy crap, what just happened?
But and then sometimes you do get that.
Very
but sometimes
rarely,
you do get that.
Very rarely. Why do you have to have the individual conversation? Like, if they have a specific thing that's like unique to them, it just felt very like you're having the exact same conversation.
Yeah.
And technically, Mass Effect had some of that. But again, Mass Effect was how many years old? I feel like the problem I have with Starfield in general is you don't see an evolution.
But even in Mass Effect, let's think back to Mass Effect 1, where there was this thing where you would complete a mission. Everyone would go to the conference room.
Yeah. Fair.
And you're talking to the group. Yeah. And you'd be addressing individual people, but that's like supernatural. It's like, not supernatural, but super, natural.
And natural.
It's very natural where Yeah, but you're addressing the group. It's not a one-on-one. You know, so you, yeah. like there were a ton of instances like that for sure. So maybe not a ton, but there were instances like that. So yeah, that's, I think it comes down to Starfield feels very dated.
Yeah.
Like this game feels like it's in 2015 or something.
And we're talking about a rating, right? So it's like when you're talking about it feels dated, but this is the biggest game Microsoft is launching, like by far.
Yeah, yeah.
Most anticipated across the board. Like it's just like this is, you got to hang your hat on this thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it does feel dated. It feels like they made this game.
It's an old
literally
formula.
7 years ago. Like it's been one development, seven years or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Eight years. Yeah.
So you don't see the evolution there. And I understand games are hard and all this other stuff, but like at some point.
It's a dated formula. I mean, it's very Bethesda through and through. And if you like Bethesda games, you're going to like this game. So I enjoyed it. But yeah, it was a little disappointing in the fact that we were anticipating the next step.
Yeah.
And how they innovated on it.
And that's because we saw a Cyberpunk and we saw a Baldur's Gate. And you had this sense of like, I can come at this problem a million different ways. It's like, no, you can't. You can either persuade or attack. Not Cyberpunk, I'm talking more Baldur's Gate.
But Baldur's Gate, exactly, yeah. And it was tough. It's just brutal for them because we just saw, you know. We might be having a very different conversation if Baldur's Gate didn't come out this year.
Cyberpunk looks good, but it also doesn't look as good as I thought I remembered.
Cyberpunk looks great, but the thing I love about Cyberpunk is the city feels alive and dense. And they just do such a great job with the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Where Starfield, like New Atlantis and Night City, is just like
I think New Atlantis is a bad city. Like, yeah, I think it sucks.
It's the worst of the cities, easily, and that's your starting city. That's mind boggling. That should be the best.
Yep. I guess it's the easiest to maybe like walk around and find things. I guess I don't know.
Well, I'm very familiar with it now for sure.
I just hate that you have to continuously go back. Like,
and
I
it's
just
like
fast
super disconnected. Like the main port where you land. And walk around, and then everything else is like above.
I didn't even know you could technically walk everywhere. It's a seamless city, but you wouldn't know it because
structurally it's terrible.
It's badly laid out, and you just go to the tram because it's just like,
and the tram is super super lazy transition too. Like you can't just have me going into the tram. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, that's immersion breaking. It breaks my immersion. But it just sounds like we're shitting on the game, though. I actually think people were like review bombing this game. I don't think it's a bad game by any stretch.
It's a good game.
I think
it does everything competently.
Yes,
but I don't think it does anything
amazing,
remarkable.
Yeah, that's
not a single thing.
But I love the game because I think you get the classic Bethesda experience where it's your personalized kind of story, and we were just trading stories back like, oh, I did this, and you were telling me, oh, wow, well, I actually did this, and I think that's a lot of fun. And I'm telling you about like, oh, these are the traits I picked, and here's how it, you know. And even today we were talking about some things where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I did this thing, and oh, mine might be different because, you know, whatever. So I love that. That's great. I do think there are a ton of mechanics in the game where anyone can have fun. Like there's going to be people that just want to explore, scan planets, just super chill, mine materials, whatever. There's going to be people that want to play the story like me. There's going to be people that spend hours in the spaceship. So I just think that's a great thing to have where you're very versatile.
It took me 35 levels though to get to be where like stealth is a viable and fun experience.
I actually watched a video yesterday where this dude was like, is this game Dishonored 2? And he had like max stealth and stuff, and he's just eviscerating.
And it's cool.
So cool. He's going
invisible.
But that
takes a long time to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the progression is rough, and we talked about this last week as well, where you can't fly certain ships, but you need a certain ship to beat the game. And it's like,
so then at the end, it's either you lucked out or now you're just grinding.
You don't even get a stealth bar until you put it into stealth.
Yeah.
The jump pack is essential and you don't get that to start.
And stealth, you have to attack people to get it.
We talked about that too. And so, so some of that stuff, but I do think this game's good. I think it's a solid game. least buggy Bethesda game of all time.
I still, I still think that's wild. Like, it's, yes, it is. And I will say that
wild
the
is in,
they, you have you to make that distinction. It's like, oh, you know, Bethesda games are, they're full of jank or whatever. It's like, yeah. Witcher's just as big as any of those games,
yeah.
And it's not. Yeah. I mean, granted, it has. I'm not saying it's perfect, but like Cyberpunk, like you don't have to have like Cyberpunk had plenty of bugs too.
Bugs,
but I'm just saying, like to make that like, oh, it's the least buggy. Like that's not a praise. Like a game should come out not buggy.
Yes. No. Okay. That's fair. I'm
not yelling at you. I'm that distinction. Yeah. Was on every single review. Every single one.
Yeah, okay, maybe that's not a good way to phrase it. The game wasn't buggy for me.
Largely. But once you start hopping universes, I just found more and more bugs, yeah, like for whatever reason, yeah.
That's how Baldur's Gate was too. Like, act one was perfection.
Yeah,
and then you get to act
50
three,
hours to get to the next one.
It's like the bugs started showing up, and I was getting locked out of things.
That sucks, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
but they were very quick to patch a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And
they're on what, patch
three,
four I think four or five now.
So, anyways, I digress. Should we get to a score? Should we score it?
Yeah. Yeah. What are you feeling?
Okay. So, and maybe this is a good opportunity to talk about our scoring structure. We haven't scored something in a while. Mm-hmm. So the way our rating system works is it's 0 through 100, but there's also different tiers. So if you go on our website, couchcompany.games, you'll see, I think we still have our list, right, of the games we reviewed.
Yep.
Yeah, so you'll see our list. So we'll have a number, and Tyler had a nice little drawing of coins. What do you call that? Like a image?
Yeah, a graphic.
Graphic, thank you.
Clip art?
I couldn't think of the words.
Just a little clip art.
Yeah. Is it clip art?
No,
anyways.
It's not clip art. Hand on each of those, buddy.
I was going to say, it's like, yikes. Anyways, so there'll be a coin graphic and a color coded,
yeah,
which represents each of our tiers. So we have, I believe, what's the most bottom tier? Is it just nothing?
I think it's iron.
Iron. So it's iron, yeah. Bronze, yeah. Silver, gold, platinum, diamond.
Yeah,
is the highest.
Yeah,
diamond's like 100 out of 100. Mm-hmm. Which, so we were kind of discussing, you know, hey, maybe we should go into like, what do the tiers represent? Now, initially, I think we landed on this because we tried to take a hybrid approach where you have a number score.
Mm-hmm.
So you're very concrete in where you think it is on the scale. But also, I think you kind of run into this issue where it's like, oh, we gave this an 88 and you gave this an 87. And, oh, you're saying this game's better than that game. And it kind of gets weird when you start doing those exact comparisons. So the tier kind of represents, you know, any of these games, it's kind of interchangeable, and the tier represents like a certain status of the game where like, go ahead.
We talked about that where it's like, I feel like we should maybe solidify what each of those mean. Right.
Right,
so like
right.
Iron is like just not worth playing. Like it's bad.
It's trash.
Yeah.
It either does not work. It's
too many problems
incapable
to save.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's dog shit.
Okay. And then on the other end of the spectrum is diamond is perfect.
Yeah. Now, will we ever give a perfect rating though? So what's our philosophy on that? What's your philosophy on that? Can any game get a perfect? Do you have any games that have a diamond status?
Personally, I would give, like, if I had to give it, like, obviously we were talking like, oh, your top games or whatever.
Yeah.
For me, it would be like Arkham City. I would give a diamond class two. Now, again, when we say perfect, is it perfect? Like, nothing can be perfect, right? So like,
you
run into that thing.
Yeah.
But it's just like, if you look at everything that comprises the game.
Yeah.
And you can't you can't find a fault to it. Like you can nitpick out of I wish they brought in like Arkham City. I wish Spider-Man was a guest character. That's not you know, he
right,
can't do stuff like
right.
That. So it's just like when you look at when it was played and all the things that go into it and what it set out to do and achieve and all that stuff. Like it's just like you can't find fault with something.
Yeah,
I would consider that like a perfect game.
Yeah, like a perfect experience.
Yeah.
I think when I think of the diamond tier, it's an all-time game.
Yeah.
It's in the conversation for best game of all time.
Yeah.
So that's the, how you get to the diamond. So it's going to be your Arkham City. I think that's fair. It's going to be like your Mario Odyssey, right?
It's in the conversation, yeah.
Right? I mean, it's up there.
It's a masterclass of execution.
And it has to, do you feel like it has to change the genre? Not change the genre, but like, you know,
I think it has to be like, oh, I really like third-person beat-em-ups.
That's the first one.
Yeah, so, like yeah. I think it definitely needs to be in that conversation.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And then we move down to Platinum.
Yep.
And that's just, again, it's sort of, it's very similar mm-hmm. in the regard that's, you know, kind of like an all-time game, generational.
It's just like, I would consider them almost identical. The difference is like, these games you could point to like so for Baldur's Gate is a perfect example, which I don't even think we scored Baldur's Gate yet.
I put it on the Notion board, but yeah, okay. Not officially on air.
That's a perfect example of like, hey, I don't like the controls and I don't like the inventory system.
Yeah.
Right? Like there are some things that could be fixed about it. And like if you want to talk about bugs and stuff later on, which I didn't even get to that point yet.
That was my gripe.
That would be a valid thing of like when you're reviewing it, it's like, hey, this isn't perfect from a technical standpoint or something like that.
Right.
So I think that would be where that distinction is, where like by all measures, this will be a genre defining, you have to play this game type of thing.
Right.
But it's not, you know, in quotations, perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Then you get to Gold, and definitely there's some faults there, but I think it's an amazing game. Mm-hmm. It's a great game. Super fun, great experience.
Might make your top 10 to 25 list.
Yeah, I think definitely. It's not going to be at that top strata, but is that the word? Is that a word?
Yeah, you're sure.
Okay. Canopy. Thanks for the comment. What?
Canopy layer.
It's not at the top canopy layer?
Yeah, if we're talking about rainforest. I'm just throwing you off track. Sorry.
No, I'm off. But it's a great experience.
Yeah.
So it's like an amazing game.
It's one of those things like, we were just saying like, okay, it's a good game, great game, whatever. It's just like, it might not be as genre. Maybe it's a little bit more niche. Maybe it's more like, this isn't for everybody, but it's a very good one of these type of thing. Like maybe it does everything competently, but not to an extent where it moves the needle in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
That's the distinction of Gold versus something like Silver, where it's almost like both of them are good games, but one is like maybe more polished.
I view Silver as like a solid game. Like it's a good game, solid.
If you're looking for something new type of thing, you played all the good stuff.
It's not a great game. It's a good game. And that's just, there's a huge distinction there. You know, it doesn't get you as excited as a Gold. It's not as memorable as a Gold game, but it's solid. Like, you know, you're going to have a fun time with it. It's something you recommend to someone who likes the genre, mm-hmm. who is maybe just looking, like you said, looking for something new.
Yeah,
it does a couple of neat things. You know, we had some good times with it. So that's how I view Silver. And then Bronze is more to me like an game. So it's either lackluster.
You play it a night with the boys and never touch it again type of thing.
Like Back for Blood
is a
solid Bronze game. We had
a couple. Did we put it as Bronze?
I think so.
Okay.
I would have at least.
You don't have the numbers on you, do you?
I can pull them.
Yeah, I was curious on like what is that, like a 75 is Bronze? I think it starts.
Oh, our scale, yeah.
Yeah, I think
so,
Bronze is it. Just to give everyone kind of an idea.
For sure. So yeah, let me pull that up. But yeah, I think we gave Back for Blood definitely a Bronze because there were some cool moments.
Top end Bronze it's the best Bronze you can get before crossing into that.
It fell apart really quick. We're like, oh. Didn't we play this level before? Oh, didn't there's bugs going on? There's like you remember that? Like went back to the first level at the end of the game, and we're like, oh, it just cycles through. It's like it was falling apart.
They reuse a lot of stuff. You could start seeing the shortcuts put on. You could start seeing the RNG
on favorite.
There. A lot of stuff.
Anyways, all right.
You could start seeing like the difficulty was just like. Look, challenging people like challenging games, certain things, but there's some that are just like dude, this is just stupid. Yeah. Like, it's like, this is not, it's not fun challenging. It's just like annoying challenging. And there's like, there's a difference.
Okay. So let's do this. So I'm going to give you the scale here.
Yeah.
And then how about we maybe just for context, put a game that kind of represents each tier.
Sure.
I mean, we talked about Diamond already. So, okay. So 10 through 65 is iron.
Yeah.
Trash.
So that would be a Redfall.
That'd be a Redfall. Yeah, exactly.
Like, we played it. We played it for a couple hours, 3 hours.
For a night.
But then I got zero progress, and I lost everything.
That was bad.
So it's just like, man.
But it was also just like, things didn't work.
Buggy, not,
it wasn't fun.
Yeah, and like the problem was bad. Like, when you truthfully
didn't
can't
look
tell
good.
The difference between, is this bugged? Is this meant to be this way? Like, if you truly can't tell the difference between that, like, it's a lost cause.
It's lost.
And I know that they're trying to, like, they're like, oh, we're still packed. We're still, like,
yeah, it's over.
It's, you're not saving that game.
Yeah. So 10 through 65, iron, a Redfall, perfect example. 66 through 75 is bronze.
Yeah.
And I think Back for Blood is a good representation of that.
Again, I think I enjoyed Back for Blood a little bit more than you. I think it was a little bit more harkened back to like a Left 4 Dead. But I would agree with you. Like, it's not, I consider it good. So I don't want to say bronze games are necessarily bad, but they were like, it's forgettable.
Super forgettable. I mean, we did play it several nights. We put some hours into it, but the wheels started falling off the more we played it. Like, we saw more game-breaking bugs. We saw that the difficulty disparity was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where it was way too easy.
It was not balanced well.
Yeah, exactly. Terribly balanced. The level design was lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was a lot of things that kind of,
like
I said, the longer we were in it, it kind of went down for me. But there's some good moments in there, and you can have some fun. So I think that represents bronze, decently. 76 through 85, silver.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is a solid silver game? I put Octopath right on the top of silver. I put it at like an 85. And the reason I did that is because it has a lot of amazing qualities to it. You know, the soundtrack's fantastic. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful looking game. I think the combat is fun and how they do that. The job system's really neat. The problem with that game is the story is super disconnected. Doesn't really make sense. It's like eight disconnected stories that really detracts from it.
Well, but that's a perfect example where it's like it might be competent in a lot of the mechanics and stuff that it does. But if you're missing, and maybe this is another stipulation with Silver, is like it's competent, it's a good game, but you are missing these key things that then push it to the gold. Like it's, and
again, this was an 85 I gave it, where it's right on the edge of that gold, because I really do think you can consider it a great game, but there is just, like, if you have an RPG like that, your story needs to be tighter.
Some of the other silvers that we gave, like It Takes Two, it was good. Like it was fine.
That one game of the year though, so we're actually pretty low on that compared to others.
I mean, look, that's why everyone has their own opinions, and
we had fun with it. But what did we? I forget what we really said why it didn't reach that gold status. I think it started off really strong, right?
It started off extremely strong.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think it was clever.
Yeah.
But it didn't do anything beyond just being, like, it's a competent,
I think it
platformer.
Fell off hard.
Yeah.
And then the ending was, like, super kind of rushed, if I remember, and weird.
To be fair, so, like, Back 4 Blood was 75, but, like, Left 4 Dead, we gave a 78, the original one. Among Us is in the silver tier. The original Portal is in the silver tier. Cyberpunk is silver tier.
Yeah.
So it's just like it's one of those things, like you do stuff. Now, granted, Cyberpunk probably went down a little lower because it was still buggy. I know you didn't have as much, but I'm sure I influenced on like on,
if
on
it was
that.
Me, it would have been gold.
Yeah,
because my experience with it was great.
Yeah,
but you have to make those considerations. It's tough too because like some of those games are older.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like a Portal 1 back in the day was amazing, but now we're viewing it from a different scope. So I think going forward, it's going to be nice because, we're playing them in modern time and then they're locked in.
And it evolves.
In.
We evolve. The games evolve. Like,
So and then the gold tier is 86 to 95.
Yeah.
So
that's your Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah.
That's your Vampire Survivors.
Vampire Survivor. What do we give Vampire Survivor?
We give it 88.
88, yeah.
That's a genre defining. It is. Like, it created a genre.
It, yeah. It, It's a great game.
Your Bloons TD 6, your Borderlands 2.
This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gave Borderlands 2 a gold tier. I think that's a solid representation.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're great games. You recommend them to the boys. They're just a great time. But yeah, they do have issues. There are some pretty clear.
Look, it gets repetitive. There are some glitches with it. There's only so many, you know, times you can kill a certain boss before it's like, okay, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
96 to 99 plat.
Nothing yet. I'll let you know.
I mean, like, a Baldur's Gate 3 Baldur's is going to be there, yeah, right? Yeah. Let's just be honest with it. So that's like...
It just depends on how high we give it.
Yeah. It's either going to be that or... I guess... I already put my rating in Notion.
Yeah.
So...
So did I. I don't but we're spoil on Starfield it. Right now, so I don't want to...
Exactly. But... And then 100 we talked about a little bit. Yeah. So that's the Diamond. That's like your Arkham City. That's like your Mario Odyssey, your God of War 2018.
Basically, you have your... 5 tiers,
yeah,
and then you just nitpick in between to try to give it a little love or less love, or it's like, hey, we're putting you in bronze, but you're like the best bronze.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you can kind of, like I said, they're almost interchangeable. Where it's like, you know, we're comparing two silver games. It's like, yeah, someone else might put this game above the other one, but it's in the same tier. You can talk about it in the same breath.
Yeah, like the best silver versus the worst gold.
Right.
Could, depending on the day, maybe flip-flop.
Exactly, exactly. So keeping that in mind, I was thinking long and hard about Starfield. And I think people give it a worse rap than it is. I think it does a lot of things well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a fun experience. I think there are definitely glaring problems with it. But it is a good enough experience that I would recommend it to people, and I think you can get a lot out of it. So where I landed personally, I couldn't get it to gold, but I was at the top of silver tier, so I gave it like an 85.
Gotcha.
I do think there's a really fun experience, and it depends what type of player you are, of course, too, right? But for the right person, they could really love this game.
So I think last week I was talking where I'm like, I was sitting at like a 79.
Yeah.
And that was because I just came off of like two literal game breaking bugs where I had to restart and lose progress and stuff.
Yep.
I think the new game plus system is interesting. I think it gives you a cool way to continue that. Like if you really love that game and you're just like, I want to reset it, but I don't want to like reset it. I think that's a nice solve for that kind of stuff. And by all accounts, there are some really cool things that you could discover at the end, but it's completely random, and who knows how many times you have to do it to actually start seeing the cool stuff. It's not like a predetermined, oh, on the 5th regen, you're going to get this, and on the 6th one, you're going to get this, and this, and this, then after 100, you're going to get this thing, or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was on 79. Once I beat the game and started kind of like seeing where that went, I was starting to creep into the 80s, but the more I look at it, the more it's like, I agree with you, definitely not gold. I can see it in silver for sure. The problem I have is I can't think of a mechanic in Starfield. I can't think of something that Starfield does better than anyone else.
Right.
I can't do it.
Right.
And I was writing down, I was telling you, I was like, I was writing down notes, playing these other games just to make sure, like, am I misremembering? Am I making this way higher than it is? But like going into all those other games was an instant, like, man, they just nailed this part. Or like, you know, like with your Baldur's Gate and your decisions and the choices matter, and your Cyberpunk with the immersion, and the No Man's Sky with like just the exploration and the discovery and the space sim part.
Yeah,
No Man's Sky, not a great story. It's not good. And like, but like, I thought Starfield combat was good. And then you go back to Cyberpunk and it's just like, oh, this sounds better. And it's crisper. And it's not like, oh, if you fire, sometimes you just miss, you know, like there is that level of like in Starfield, like depending on your weapon proficiency and stuff, like sometimes you maybe don't hit a shot that you really should have, type of thing.
Mm.
Where Cyberpunk, it doesn't give you that. It's just, Cyberpunk is going to be crisp. You're going to do the combat. It's just sometimes you might get crits more something like that.
And Cyberpunk 2, I played a sneaky archer, which is my favorite thing to do, which you can't really do, like you said, in Starfield 2, you're pretty beefy.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, does it feel so much better in Cyberpunk where you're just getting a headshot. And I didn't really like this
sneaky bit. Like my kind of redo of Cyberpunk, I'm like, I'm not doing stealth at all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to go in and just guns blazing, but play it as like a shooter type of thing.
Sure.
But yeah, like, that's the thing is, like, even Cyberpunk, I think they have flaws on the, like, the stealth system, but still leaps and bounds better. So it's just like, that's the thing I'm struggling with Starfield is there just isn't something that I can point to that says, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that. I think there are cool things.
There are cool things, but they don't do anything remarkable enough to be like, this is better. Like,
yeah.
The space building, definitely better than No Man's Sky.
Yep.
The idea of like your house and your fleet and your flying and all that, like all that stuff just feels better.
Right.
And you keep it more connected. Like, you have 18 quintillion planets. If you find a world that you really like, you can literally build a base wherever you want, put a teleporter on, and now you're instantly connected to all your other bases, however you want to do it. Like, there are just, anyway, there are benefits there. So anyway, all that being said, I'm still pretty on the low, like I'm on like the 80 scale of it. So I know we have like a 5-point disparity there.
That's in the middle of silver, though. That's right in the
middle. Yeah, yeah. And it just comes down to like the cleverness of the campaign. Like, I think the campaign got there. Like, I would much rather have a campaign be a main campaign, be kind of boring up front, but then end really well than vice versa and can't stick the landing.
Yep.
I think it actually stuck the landing pretty well.
Yeah.
At least the first time you play it. Now, the problem is every time you jump, you have to go through that whole end sequence again the exact same way. Yeah. So, like, I got to the point where, like, I was running through that thing in maybe, like, 90 minutes. Like, I could truck it. And the problem is every time you restart, you get a random weapon. So if you luck out and you get, like, I had one playthrough where I just started with a knife and I didn't have anything. So, then you start getting into, like, a really kind of roguelite, like, you can't afford to take a hit. So, like, I'm, like, stabbing people and taking their weapon, shooting it and stuff.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Yeah.
But also, it's all RNG. Like, right. it's not, you know. So, anyway, for 5 points, though. So, I'm at 80, you're 85.
Yeah.
One of the things, too, is, like, are we considering mods at all?
That's tough. I mean, because I know you don't, like, right?
You can mod it, but not even officially supported yet.
Yeah, and it's tough because this game's going to be just incredible once that becomes unleashed.
I think it helps it.
And they're very intentional about it, too, so I do think they deserve props because they talk about it all the time, how they're very pro-modding, and they give people the support. It's very easy to mod, and I think that's to be commended.
But that's not coming till next year.
That's not coming till next year.
Yeah.
Right. So
here's my
I wouldn't really, I don't know. I didn't play with mods either. So I guess my experience, how I'm going to rate it, is without mods.
Yeah. And right I think now. That's fair.
Yeah.
But I just want to kind of voice it where it's like, oh, well, if you play it with mods, it's going to be so much better.
Yeah.
The problem that I have is all the mods I had and all the highest rated mods are to fix things of like, this inventory system is much better.
Yeah.
All these boring animations where you have to hit the menu and it takes like 3 seconds just to get to where you can move.
Yeah.
Or, oh, you want to hold tab to go back, but you have to do it like twice a lot for some reason.
Yeah.
All of that being fixed, then I can start being like, okay, 81, 82. But it's crazy that those type of things where it's a slog is such an impact on the score. So I don't know. I just wanted to point it out there. Like, yes, technically you can make the game slightly, I consider, better with mods, but not like Skyrim. It was, oh, this looks completely different. Yeah. This looks gorgeous. Yeah. This is like insane. Oh, you have like a weather system where like now there's like a survival mechanic, which wasn't
but
in
it'll
there
get
stuff.
There. But it'll get there.
100%.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like,
what was the first week of Skyrim mod? I mean,
you'd have to
I mean?
Go back so and see.
That's what I'm saying. I think we romanticize that because we see where it's at now.
I'm sure it was a lot of bug fixes.
Really excited to where I think Starfield will be a solid gold tier game. Give it a couple years. Creative mods. I mean, I can't even fathom what they're going to do with it. I think there's just, and the potential is, because like it's like super empty, right? That's like one of the complaints.
Yep.
That can be fixed, given enough time.
My only counter to that is, yes, with mods, I don't think that Bethesda will get there.
Right.
I think the community could.
And that's like kind of lazy on their part because they know people will do it for them.
Oh, we don't need an FOV slider.
Right.
Mods will get there. Like, come on. Come on.
Yeah, so Okay, so where did you end up officially?
Officially, I'm still
80.
Yeah, I got to actually look, because I think at one point I had 81, and then I had another bug break, and I was like,
back down.
I'm very volatile when it comes to that.
80 is a solid silver tier, so it's a, you know, that's a solid game.
Let's see here. Starfield, I give it an 80. Yeah.
Okay.
You got an 85. I can put that in for you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if I put it in yet.
So, I mean, well, that's the question, right? So, like, do we want to say 83, split the difference? Like, I would go up 3 points, you go down 2.
Yeah. Or we could go 82. How do you feel? Like, what do you feel passionate about the 1 point difference?
I don't feel passionate, but that's, here's my thing is I don't feel passionate about this game. Like, I already have it uninstalled.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, I put 50 hours into the game.
Yeah.
Do I think that it like valued my time as much? Like, if you go back, like you go through Neon City, you do all those things. Like, are you, if you universe hop, are you ever going to want to go around and give all the vendors flyers again? Are you going to want to go around? And maybe that's not fair, but like, it's just like, even at the end of like, okay, here's this new game plus this aha moment. It's like, yeah, but I don't want to go get this girl a coffee, or I don't want to go get this woman a like get her stuff out of impound or whatever. It's just like I don't know, it's just like it's fine.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, we can call it 83. I think that's fine.
Yeah, it's a like, look, it's a good game. I think that, like, especially if you have Game Pass, there's no reason not to play it,
and that factored into my 85 as well, because we talk about value a lot. And I was flirting with a gold tier, because if you just think about it, $10, what an amazing, you get so many things.
Look, I want to say No Man's Sky is also in Game Pass.
Yeah, but No Man's Sky is also a great game. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from No Man's Sky.
I'm just saying that,
like, man, this is a AAA big title on Game Pass. That's awesome that I can just And it does factor into my score to some degree.
Should it, though? I think would be my question.
I think it has to.
Yeah. See,
because let's think about if a game came out and it was like $30,
mm-hmm.
you're going to rate it differently than a $70 game. Because value, what am I getting?
But it is
for.
Yeah.
Because that's not fair. Like, Balloons is rated so highly for us.
Yeah.
Large part because it has so much to do, fun experience at the price point. Would Balloons be in the gold tier if it was a $70 game? There's not a chance in this
world. You wouldn't spend $70 on Balloons?
I might, but I didn't have to. I spent like one.
Fair. No, that's fair.
And that's incredible.
So I guess my only counter to that would be, and literally what I just said is because, like, No Man's Sky,
I don't know if I would spend $70 on Balloons. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's really,
it's so fun.
My only counter to that is, yes, Starfield is a good game on Game Pass that you can play.
Yes.
But to then, like, you can also play No Man's Sky, which has 7 years of development behind it or whatever, of improvements and revamps and different things like that. If you want the space sim, right? You also have tons of other AAA awesome titles to play and stuff. So it's like, it's one of those, yes, Starfield is available should you want to play it. That is a cool thing that you don't have to pay $70.
There's now no reason not to play it.
Well, what I'm saying is, if there are other games that I think are better games on Game Pass to play, where it's like, even if it's on Game Pass, is it going to out... Like, okay, frame it this way.
I don't love the comparison because I'm thinking strictly from a value sense where I'm paying $10 a month.
Right, and I'm looking at it from a even going with Game Pass, and it's like, I'm in the mood for a space sim, right?
Okay.
And it's like, cool, you could play Starfield. I think in its current state, I think No Man's Sky is a better space sim. They even have Everspace 2 on there, that if you want more of an arcade, like actual just flying around and better that way.
Right.
If you want an RPG, again, well, I don't think Red Dead is on there anymore, but it's like, you had Red Dead, you had Grand Theft Auto, you had every other Bethesda game. So it's like,
right,
there are other options on there where even for a good, again, good value, isn't enough for you to download Starfield over all the other titles that you do get with Game Pass as well. that would be my only like.
No, I got you, and I think that's fair. But like I said, I'm just strictly talking how much is this game.
My only argument is I'm not going to let that specific thing sway my score, because if it did, then that would.
I think it factors into my score. It's not the main driver, but I just think it's impossible to separate that.
Like, but you don't know the game. How do you feel about that though? Like, you don't actually, you buy the game, and like, yes, if it's such a big epic that you play,
yeah,
you know, it's $10 if you play it in a month and you beat it in a month, and it's like, oh, well, you've got that experience.
If I buy the game on like Steam later down the line, do my saves save?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying there's not a way to like grab it and port it over, yeah. Maybe. Because
but if I buy it on Xbox, obviously it will.
Yeah, cloud save saves.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know. I mean, that's fair, but
I'm just saying I don't know if that should factor in as much.
Yeah. No, that's. I think that's fair. I feel comfortable at 85 personally. I just think.
Yeah.
That's where I landed on.
And we mentioned this, where you're typically higher on. You just enjoy life.
I
more.
Am. No. I wouldn't say that. I don't know. I'm like a sappy. Look how hard they tried and.
Yeah,
they're doing their best, and everyone just doing their best.
But if you want to start splitting hairs there, then it's like, dude, this is a AAA title for one of the biggest franchises ever.
I had fun with it. I don't know. I had a great time, and I'm still having a great time. I'm excited to play more of it this weekend.
The pedigree, I think I expected more.
I think it was a little disappointing, but initially, when we first saw it, I think it's better than what we, because I was really down on it, and then I was really up on it. After the last direct they had, and then I think it landed somewhere in the middle.
I wonder if we never saw that other direct, if we just played it
flipped
with zero expectation.
Like, oh wow, this is actually a lot better. It might be.
It's all
contextual. They might have bit themselves.
Yeah,
actually no, because that direct probably got a lot of more people to play it because they were like super excited.
No, definitely.
Okay, that was a long one.
Yeah,
but good discussion. I enjoy our chats.
Probably saving top five for another.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good time to end it. But Starfield's a good game. I had a lot of fun. I'm going to continue to play it.
You could do worse than Starfield.
100%.
You could play Redfall.
You could play Redfall. God. But yeah, that's it for us. If you made it this far, thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed our thoughts on Starfield and
religion.
Feel that it was a fair rating. Saw some of our points there. But if you do want to check out our lists, couchcompany.games, we have a decent number of games rated there. There was a time where we were kind of doing games every week. Maybe we should get back to something like that. Yeah. To have a catalog, right?
Of all the games
we've kind of played.
I have to make a decision today if we're doing Squarespace or not, because my 20% code expires.
Okay, we will... you'll know by the time this comes out, I guess. But Couch, it's still going to be the same
URL.
Awesome. Okay, so couchcompany.games, check it out there. We have our game ratings. We have our top fives. Tyler has a really nice Hi-Fi Rush
that review. That one and done review.
It's a great review.
Dude, I hate writing. Writing sucks.
Writing sucks.
Yeah.
It's a great review. We should get back to doing reviews.
Yeah, just writing sucks.
True. And that's about it. Twitter, at couchcodegames. And... Awesome. Thanks for joining us on the couch. We'll see you same time, same place next week.